Welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an online audio ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and Carson City United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at www.carsoncityumc.org, or you can visit my blog at www.thepulpiteer.com for more sermons, Bible studies, and writings. Morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. It's the resurrection account is found in John. And again, if you've been going through the service this week with us, you'll know that on Thursday we had a communion service remembering that Thursday was the night that he gave himself up for us. On Friday, we had a tenebrae, and so it's the sanctuary getting gradually darker, and the Christ candle was actually taken out to symbolize and remind us of Christ's death. On Saturday, last night, we had the Easter Vigil waiting for the resurrection that occurred sometime in the early hours. And this morning, we get to read the gospel proclamation of the resurrection. So this is a fun one to read. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lined with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, whom reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And now we will have a time out. I've told people everything's harder in front of a crowd, so I appreciate Mark changing batteries, which involves little movements. Thank you. Wonderful. Yeah. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, God who is more powerful than death itself, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, like I've said, this is a big week for us here. This has been an exciting weekend, really our biggest week of the year. This is, Easter is why we are what we are. And last night we had a ton of baptisms. We had a lot of stuff going on. We had 14 baptisms going on, and we had a big 300-gallon tub full of water. And then by the end we had a tarp that was there protecting full of water too. It was like a swamp back here. We just had so much water going on and so many people going through. It was hard for me to keep track. And I thought, well, maybe it would have been more efficient if I just had like a garden hose and just like the mass baptism, just spray them all down and get done. There was a lot going on. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I'm thrilled we did so many baptisms. We had three churches here. Because I'm a supervising pastor for a gentleman who's a lay pastor and with a three-point charge just west of here. And by the discipline, he's not allowed to do baptisms. But so I was supposed to do them for him. And so he said, well, what if we did this together? And then he could be here and pray anointing over him after we do the baptisms. And it could be a team thing, which, a lot of times communities fight each other. But we didn't. We got together, right? We got together in the name of Jesus. And that stuff went on. And they had people from Fenwick and from Palo who were here to support the people from Fenwick and Palo getting baptized. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I'm thrilled that stuff happens. And I'm thrilled that stuff happens around this resurrection day because we need it. We need baptisms. We need to see the grace of Christ poured out. We need reconciliation. We need it and the world needs it. We need the transformation and forgiveness. We need the grace of God. We need that stuff spread around because, let's be honest, the world is not a safe place. The world is not a safe place. There is real evil out there. There's real hurt out there. There's real heartache. There's real sin. There's real devastation. There were supposed to be 16 baptisms yesterday. But as I mentioned earlier, John passed away on Friday, the day before he was supposed to be baptized. And Cheyenne, who was his girlfriend, decided she couldn't do it yesterday, and my hope is that she will. But yesterday didn't work, and we had other stuff going on. I actually called a lot of people and had them pray for the congregations. We've just had a lot of stuff going on. I believe that there are real and literal powers of the demonic that are out there. That are out there to do nothing but to steal and kill and destroy. The world is not a safe place. The world is not a safe place. There is real evil, and there are things that are really tearing away at us. And I know you know that. And if you don't believe that there's demonic forces, you just really need to open your eyes. There's stuff really out there. And so when we do stuff like baptism, when we in the name of Jesus Christ, pour water on people and say, you've been baptized, you've been claimed by God, something significant is going on there because there is an unseen realm and there are things that are going on that we may not be able to see, but we know. And so I'm thrilled that we did that. Because the world's not a safe place. And honestly, if we're going to be honest, you know what? My heart's not a safe place. Evil sneaks into that as well. I know one of the things before I really gave my life to Christ, one of the things I realized is I had become somebody that I didn't like. I'd become somebody I didn't like. You see, evil is real. And it'll sneak in and it'll tear and steal and destroy us as well. We need this stuff. We need Easter. I need Easter. I need to know that Jesus overcomes this stuff. I need to know that because I see a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and I need to know that God wins in the end. I need to know that. And I need to sing. I need to sing Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. I need to sing that. I need to know. And be able to feel it in my bones that no matter how things look now, Easter's coming. Easter's coming. And Jesus Christ overcame even death itself. Do you know what gospel means? Gospel is a word that means good news. It comes from the Greek euangelion. Euangelion is a term for good news, and it's a technical term. It was a technical term used for good news of victory. So there's a king that's had a victory, and he sends runners to go out to the villages and the places to proclaim the king has won. The king has won the battle. The king has won the war. And now the king's people are safe. It's going to be okay. The king is won. And so Christians have this understanding of this gospel good news, saying that our Lord has won the war. Jesus Christ gives news of victory of the king, that the kingdom of darkness has been defeated, that evil has been overthrown, that death is dead, that sin is forgiven, we've been cleansed by the blood of Lamb, there is victory. So every person we baptize, every person we baptize, we remember Paul's writing in Romans 6, where he says, everyone was baptized, who was baptized into Christ's death, and if you were baptized into a death like his, then you were baptized into a resurrection like his. And in that we have hope. So that no matter what this world throws at us, if you are in Christ, we may die a death, but we believe that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so will God give life to our mortal bodies also. The world is not a safe place, but in Jesus Christ there is life and there is victory. So we go to the gospel story from St. John. Mary goes to the tomb. She goes to the tomb to visit and to mourn and to care for the body. In fact, the word tomb is used 9 times in the first 11 verses. She visits the tomb. She goes to the tomb. The tomb is empty. They look in the tomb. The tomb, the tomb. She goes to the tomb. The tomb is a place of death. Dreams are crushed at the tomb. Hope is gone at the tomb. There's brokenness and grief and sorrow. Mary goes to the tomb. And I wonder, what tombs are there in your lives? Because we have them, don't we? They might be literal tombs. They might be figurative tombs. Tombs of brokenness, of sin, of grief and sorrow. Tombs of hopelessness. And Mary's even more distraught because she goes to the tomb, she sees it's open, which it's not supposed to be, and it's empty, and she thinks someone's stolen the body. And the obvious question is, why? Why would someone do this? If it's grave robbers, it seems like they'd just take the stuff that was valuable. Why would you take a body? And if it's vandals, it seems like you'd just tear stuff down, but why would you take a body? So then you think, well, maybe it's the authorities who are oppressing us, and maybe they're just messing with us, which is wicked, isn't it? And she thinks, one way or the other, this is just wrong. This is just wrong. And an angel appears, and the angels have a conversation with her, and they ask her the question, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And she says, because they've taken away my Lord. Because they've taken away my Lord. But that's what death does, right? That's what evil does. It takes away. Death and evil take away. We stand at the tombs in our own lives, again, whether they're literal or figurative, and say, well, why are you crying? So, because they've taken away. Because they've taken away my father or my mother. They've taken away my spouse, or they've taken away my child, or they've taken away my friend. Or maybe it's because they've taken away my hope, or they've taken away my self-worth, taken away my innocence or my reputation. Because they've taken away my dreams, my ambitions. You know, maybe it's stuff that's been done to you. Heart-wrenching hurts and loss they've taken away. Maybe it's a sin that's at work within you. Again, maybe it's, like I said, I reached a point in my life where I'd become someone I didn't want to be. Taking away your very person. Making you someone you don't want to be so that you're hurting others through the sin that's at work in you. We all have areas of death in our lives. We all have those tombs where we can cry out, they've taken away someone, or they've taken away something from me. And haven't you had enough? I mean, haven't you had enough? Don't you wish it could change? I mean, this is, when tragedy happens, don't you just think, or when hard times come up, or when you face that same sin over and over, don't at some point you say, I'm sick of this. Haven't you had enough of sin and evil and death? I mean, do they always get to win? Does death always have to be the end of the story? Does it always have to be a slow deterioration or a quick and tragic death? Does it always have to? Haven't you had enough of that? Haven't you had enough of evil at work in the world today? Don't you just look around and say, okay, that's it. This needs to end. This needs to end. There needs to be something that's more powerful, a force that's more powerful and all-encompassing than sin and death. Haven't you had enough? So at the tomb, Mary was at the tomb. She's at the tomb crying out, they've taken my Lord away. They've taken him away. They've taken it away from me. And notice this though, at that tomb, at the very spot where she notices that they've taken him away, at the tomb is where something happens. Because where did the resurrection occur? Where was Jesus raised? At the tomb. At the tomb. Jesus rose and was transformed in the tomb. Now the tomb was transformed because now the tomb was empty. Now you meet angels at the tomb. In fact, now Mary even meets Jesus at the tomb. The tomb is different now. The tomb has been forever changed because of Jesus Christ. God goes directly into the place of death, into the places of our lives where hurt and sin and loss and sorrow exist. It is right there at the tomb that God brings resurrection. It's in that place where we are weeping and broken and where stuff has been taken away. In the tomb is where God brings resurrection. God makes the tomb the grounds for the resurrection. God makes the cross itself the method and symbol of forgiveness for us. See, God's victory over sin and death is not a trick play. It's not a misdirection. It's not a case of better management. God doesn't trick evil so he somehow sneaks in a rule evil didn't know. God goes directly into death's house, stares death eye to eye, and just simply overwhelms sin and death. He simply wins. The dead, Jesus was dead, and he just raises him back to life. He doesn't find a trick play to make him seem alive. He just says, you know what? Death, you don't work. I'm more powerful. Jesus is back to life. Goes right into the midst. Toe-to-toe, face-to-face, eye-to-eye, and was simply and profoundly more powerful. Jesus Christ went into the tomb, and the tomb not only lost, but now the tomb is a sign of victory. I mean, think about what that means, because the tomb stood for, this is the place where heartache is. And now what is the tomb? Well, the tomb is empty, and I met Jesus. The tomb has been transformed. That very place of heartache has been transformed. The cross is where Jesus died. But now we put it up in our sanctuary. Why? To remind us that God loved us this much, that he would die for us and offer us forgiveness. This place, this instrument of torture has been transformed by the work of God Almighty because God is more powerful than sin and evil and death, that he takes those very things of heartache and transforms them. It should be kind of mind-blowing that we wear crosses around our neck. It's like wearing an electric chair around your neck. Why do we do that? Because God made it different. Because he's more powerful than the forces of darkness and evil. He's so powerful, he even takes the bad stuff and transforms it so that we say, hey, this is awesome. It's a sign of victory. It becomes resurrection ground. This place, this tomb was transformed. Now it's not a place of heartache. Now it's a place where you meet angels. This tomb, this place, this is not no longer a place of just desolation. It's a place that the other disciples saw and he believed. And it's this amazing sentence that follows. It says, for they didn't realize yet that he must be raised from the dead. He didn't even know that yet. The head knowledge didn't even happen. The other disciple came there. He saw the tomb was empty and he what? He believed. He believed. He saw and he believed. The tomb has been transformed of a place that gives miraculous faith. The tomb, this place of death, was where Jesus called Mary by name. This place, the tomb, that's where Mary encounters the risen Christ. This place, the tomb, that's where faith was born. It's resurrection ground now. It's resurrection ground. And if we are Jesus' people, saved by Jesus Christ, baptized into him, what does that mean for us? I mean, if Jesus really was raised from the dead, and we believe in him and are united to him by faith, what does that mean for us? Can you imagine walking up to those tombs in our lives and by faith claiming them as resurrection ground? Like, what if God really does transform things like that? What if this story that we celebrate today really happened? And the God who is the God that raised Jesus Christ is the same God who's the God today. What if our God really does raise the dead and transforms tombs from signs of desperation into signs of hope? What would that mean for you and I? Can you imagine going to those tombs in our lives and claiming them now as resurrection ground? Walking head on to those dead spots, looking them into the eye and saying, he is risen. I mean, picture this. What if you went to the grave of a loved one. I mean, actually walking up to the grave of a loved one and standing at the grave and saying, "This is not over yet. This is not over yet. He is risen. And someday, this is going to be resurrection ground. This is going to be resurrection ground. Because He is risen, this is going to be transformed." Can you imagine going to those broken areas of ourselves, those hurt areas of ourselves, those tombs in our own lives, and saying, "This is not over yet. He is risen. And this is going to be resurrection ground. God is going to transform even this spot right now because He's the God of the living, and this is going to be transformed." Can you imagine going to those broken areas of our community where there's heartache, where there's hurt, where there's brokenness, and saying, "This is not over yet. He is risen, and this is going to be resurrection ground." Whatever, wherever dreams are crushed, wherever hope is gone, wherever there's brokenness and grief, wherever there's sorrows, just looking those tombs in the eye and saying, "This is not over yet. He is risen. This is going to become resurrection ground." I mean, this is even better than saying, "Someday we'll forget about all this." No, it's even better than that. It's saying, "Someday we'll remember this and remember how God took this tragedy and made it something different. He made it resurrection ground, signs of the miraculous work of bringing things that were dead back to life." It means proclaiming with faith, believing where we have not yet seen, that the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies also. That life will come again. That because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. That life is worth the living just because He lives. You see, this is my favorite day of the year. I love it. I love Easter because I need to know that there's a power more powerful than evil and sin and death. I need to know that the devil gets kicked in the teeth. I need to know that Jesus and the devil went eye to eye and the devil had to back down because he lost. I need to know that. And I need to celebrate that. And I need to proclaim that. Because the world is a dangerous place and we all get hurt and we are all broken. But let me tell you what I know today. The world may be dangerous, but it is not more dangerous than Jesus is loving. It may be dangerous, but it's not more dangerous than Jesus is loving. Though I may be broken, but I'm not so broken that Jesus can't fix me. Because today, I remember who we are celebrating and who we are following. See, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's about the work that Jesus is doing. And let me tell you about the Jesus that we're following. He's the Lamb of God who was slain for us. He's the Holy One full of righteousness. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, and to Him all creation sings. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's the warrior who rides victorious on the white horse. He casts out demons and calms the storm with a word. He is Jesus Christ, my Lord. He makes the lame to walk, the blind to see. He raises the dead. He walks on water, turns water into wine, and He multiplies bread. He is Jesus Christ, my Lord. In the desert, He beat the devil on the cross. He defeated sin. He ascended to heaven, but my Lord is coming back again. He is Jesus Christ, my Lord. So no matter what you have done, you need to know today that you're forgiven, because I'm here to tell you this morning, my Lord, He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Glory to God and hallelujah. Amen. Sorry, I get a little worked up on this. So. And I meant to share this. There's this other... There's this hymn that the Eastern Orthodox sing. So for centuries they've sung this. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Upon those where? In the tombs doing what? Bestowing life. That's good news. That's good news.